Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. Our guest today is Tom Curry with Low Country Paver. He's been a friend for a long time, and I think it's going to be really interesting today. You know, Tom, we don't really think about the exterior of our home or living outside as being a consideration for aging in place. And when you and I talked about it, you were like, oh, hell yes, it is. Absolutely. So I'm excited to have a conversation with you and have you help all of us understand what outside living is and about how to create a safer environment. So before we get started, I'd love to hear a little bit about you.
Hi, thanks for having me. Tom Curry, I own Low Country Paver. We manufacture hardscape products.
You've been in business how long?
19 years.
Gosh, do you know, I remember you and I talked about this last time. I interviewed you almost 19 years ago.
Yeah, when you first started.
That's right? Exactly, yeah. Right. And you were a local manufacturer, and now you're international.
Well, we're not. We're regional. We only do the Southeast, but we make the products. We are the only family-owned hardscape product manufacturer, outdoor living product manufacturer from Delaware to South Florida.
Can I ask just a silly question? And I think it's kind of a broad spectrum question. What are pavers? What is Low Country Paver, the business?
Well, you know, a paver itself is basically just a square concrete unit used for paving. So you have asphalt, you have concrete, which cracks, you have asphalt that lasts about 10 years.
Okay.
And then you have pavers, which are concrete slabs that are a different process to make them stronger than regular concrete. So your concrete driveway is normally about 2,800 to 2,500 PSI.
What's that PSI?
10,000. Okay. Our pavers are 10,000. We require to be 8,000.
What is a PSI?
Pounds per square inch.
Oh, thank you. That's what I was, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm back to the basics.
So basically, a paver is about three times stronger than concrete, but also they cut expansion joints into a driveway to keep the cracking to stop.
Okay.
So if you think about it, a paver is not only three times stronger than a concrete driveway, but it's also a thousand little expansion joints all over, because every paver is an expansion joint, basically.
Why is that so important?
Well, because, you know, there's two types of concrete. There's crack concrete and not crack jet concrete. So with the paver, you don't want it to be ugly. You know, the driveway is the first thing you see when you pull up to a house. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody will argue that a paver driveway is the most beautiful pavement you can buy. It's also more expensive. It's about 2.5 times the cost of a concrete driveway. But it adds value to the house, you know. And to me, honestly, you know, because I'm a little biased, but when you pull up to a house and you see a concrete porch and you see a concrete driveway, that to me is an unfinished construction process. It's like having sheetrock in your house and not sand it and paint it. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you want ugly concrete on your front porch when you can put beautiful pavers and have a beautiful walkway going up? And concrete is nothing but, they use concrete to make the foundation of the house.
Well, and what's interesting about having this discussion, even at this point, is we're talking about aging in place. We're talking about having a home environment that is aesthetically pleasing, because we want that. And so what you're saying is concrete, not so much. But also, I know that I have concrete out in my old driveway, and it's a hazard for my dad, and it's a hazard for my grandkids.
Right.
So what I hear you say is that the concrete paver is not only beautiful, but it's also practical.
So with your house, your concrete, I didn't really take note of it, believe it or not, which is unusual. But you probably have tree roots lifting up the
concrete.
Oh, I
bet. Because
if it were pavers, you pull them up, you cut the tree root out, you put the pavers back down.
Oh, is that how they work?
When they're used on a street and you need to run a cable under the road for whatever type of cable or put in something for traffic light, you just pull them up, you do your work, you put it back down.
So pavers can be used for, now, I mean, I think of them as driveways.
Pavers started in Germany because concrete and asphalt in the severe weather was not holding up to the severe weathers in Germany. So they came up with...
So pavers started in...
Pavers started in Germany because the weather conditions there are very brutal, the cold winters. And forget asphalt. Asphalt okay. won't hold up over there. So everything was concrete, but it was even tough with the concrete. So they came up with concrete pavers as an alternative, a better alternative to concrete. So pavers in Europe are used 10 times more than they are in the United States. And then it took off into Canada because of their harsh winters.
Okay.
So it's the strongest pavement. It's the most beautiful pavement. And now we also have permeable pavement.
What does that mean?
Permeable concrete that allows the water to go between the joints of the paver and filter back into the ground the way it was designed to be.
Now, why would permeable pavers, thank you for that tongue twister, be something that we would want?
So right now, when you have an asphalt street, or you have a concrete street.
Okay.
The water runs off into the concrete or off your driveway and off of the street or off of the parking lot.
Got it.
The asphalt parking lot. And it comes down the side and then it goes into a storm sewer.
Okay.
You know where that storm sewer goes?
Where?
Out into the river.
Oh.
It gets dumped out there. So it works its way back into the river or works its way a couple miles down into a detention basin where it's held. But pavers, permeable pavers, have joints in between them and allow the water to come down and go between the product and filter back into the earth and recharge the aquifer the way nature intended it. So when you have a parking lot, a big Walmart, big giant Walmart
parking lot,
instead of taking thousands of gallons of polluted fresh water that's also hot because of the asphalt, the pavement warms it. So you have, this is what gets dumped into our rivers. Hot, fresh, polluted water goes into our rivers.
Gross.
That's why we're having problems with the rivers right now. We're also having problems with our aquifer because people are drawing more water out of the aquifer than's being put back into the aquifer. Do you know why that's happening all of a sudden? Because of development and impervious surfaces. The water hits it and it's not going back into the ground the way it was before.
And I've been looking into aquifers, and I didn't realize that a permeable surface would allow it to go back into the aquifer. So we are just depleting it.
Yeah, we're depleting it. Yeah, and the problem is not only are we using it, but we're not putting it back where it came from. So before the Walmart was built, it was before that parking lot in Walmart was built, it was either a forest or it was a field, one or the other. Now all that rainwater is all gone from that area. Acres and acres of land no longer have the rainwater filtering back through the earth, purifying and recharging the aquifer, but it's going in, it's polluting our rivers instead.
It's super interesting.
Yeah, and it's the best solution. It's the easiest solution, and it's the most beautiful solution, and it's simple.
I have a question. How did you even get involved in this? Because it's really a hybrid. I mean, it seems like it's science and sustainability and environmental conservation and all kinds of really positive things that we talk about all the time.
Right.
How did you get involved?
You know, I sold my business when I was 32 in New Jersey as a contractor.
And
I started that when I was 19 years old. Started it with a Honda Civic and a lawnmower in the back of it while I was in college at Rutgers. And I sold that when I was 32 and bought Low Country Block, which was a block plant. They were making block and they were losing $1.7 million a year making block.
What is that?
Cinder block.
Got it.
Building block for buildings.
Okay.
And that's a commodity. There's no money in that.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
You make pennies off of it and you have to do massive volumes. And when they sold it to the company to me, they were telling me if I could get the volume up, but I wasn't ever intending to make cinder block.
Okay.
So I grew up in New Jersey near a place called E.P. Henry, a family-owned hardscape products manufacturer. And they used to make cinder block. They made cinder block for 125 years. And after 125 years, they were doing $6 million in revenue.
Whoa.
This is back in the 80s. They were doing $6 million in revenue. Back then, it was pretty good. But they got into the hardscape. They really brought hardscape from Europe to the United States. They were one of the innovators of it. And they brought it here. And within 10 years, they went from $6 million in cinder block to over $50 million in pavers in 10 years.
Wow.
And so they said, well, forget the cinder block business.
We're going for hardscapes.
Yeah. And they got into the, it started off with pavers, and then it started off making concrete wall to build outdoor kitchens and fireplace kits,
yes.
Then fire pits. So now it's gone from basically a pavement business to an outdoor living business.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back here on Aging in Place, and we're going to talk about outdoor living, because it's certainly everywhere you see now, growing. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. We're here with Tom Curry, and we're talking about pavers. I tell you, it's amazing when you really start talking about some of these things, how fascinating the whole subject is. We took a break, and we decided we were going to talk a little bit more about outdoor living. And you had a really interesting story for us about creating an outdoor living space for one of your clients.
Yeah, we had a elderly woman.
Was she over 66?
I don't know how old she was, but I think she was, okay. Actually. And her husband was confined to a wheelchair, and he liked to be outside, but they had no way to push. She could not physically push him around in the grass outside and take him out back. So they always wound up going out front in the driveway, and they had cars going past, and it wasn't a pretty place where he wanted to sit and relax.
Sure.
So what she actually did is she built walkways through her around her backyard with a patio in the center of it, so she could push her husband around the backyard, take him outside, and let him sit on the patio.
And one of the things that we know is that anytime you can take someone, whether they're older, younger, anytime you can get them outside, it is conducive to health and wellness. Even when you walked in today, it was really fun. You were looking out and back. I think we all like that natural look. Outdoor living here in the South is huge. And I understand in New Jersey and all around the country, outdoor living is more and more popular. How can using pavers enhance that? And what are some creative things we can do?
Well, if you have a slope property that drops off, it's not very useful for a lot of reasons. So
okay.
You could use retaining wall to tear the property up to level it all off. My neighbors right next door are actually doing that now. They're doing a monstrous project with our retaining wall. And they're making three different levels off of their backyard with steps down the middle so that they have three different patio type areas.
Does that help with erosion too?
It would help with erosion. It shouldn't erode once you have a wall.
That's
up there.
What I mean.
There will
exactly.
be no erosion.
Right.
Yeah. But the big thing with hardscapes are the fire pits and just the patios outside. Outdoor kitchens are huge now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the concrete paver, hardscape paver industry really became more than pavers. And now it's fireplace kits, like we sell fire pits, concrete fire pits.
Oh, do you really?
We manufacture concrete fire pits. But the outdoor kitchens are so fast and easy to build. You know, we build outdoor kitchens with our product called Hardy Wall.
What is that? What is Hardy Wall?
They're blocks. They're concrete blocks that we tumble to make them look rustic. And you stack them together, and you could literally build an outdoor kitchen. No exaggeration. One guy could build an entire outdoor kitchen in an hour, just like stacking the blocks like Legos. And they'll last forever. They will never, ever go away. And like some people use stucco.
Right. I've
seen
that.
And they use
right.
fake stone glued
right,
to
right,
aluminum.
Right.
Well, that stuff falls off after a while. Water gets behind it. It gets ugly. It pops off. Our product, you put it down. You saw my outdoor kitchen
yes,
in my backyard.
It was phenomenal.
That'll be there for 300 years. That's okay. never going anywhere. And there's no maintenance ever. You'll never have to do anything to it. And it looks beautiful. And it's easy to build. And it's inexpensive.
I was going to say it makes a lot of sense. The caliber and quality of the product are what you're selling too.
Well, you know, our product's better than everybody else's.
Very lucky.
But, you know, all the products, you know, they're available all over the country.
Can you give me a general overview? And I probably should have asked you this at the beginning of the interview. And that is, what is a hardscape per se?
Okay. So you have basically what's, and a lot of people don't know that actually. And still, even when we try to categorize ourselves on websites, there's nothing that says hardscape. So nobody really understands what hardscape is. So a landscape now includes a softscaping, which is basically what they call the plants.
Okay.
And then hardscaping, which is your pavers, your patios, your retaining wall, your outdoor kitchens, all your hard surfaces are called hardscaping because it's part of landscaping and it's outside.
So, now I recognize that you're not a designer per se, but I have to say, if there's one person I would probably trust with a design, you've probably seen absolutely everything from a geographical point of view. And I know you're regional, but you've traveled quite a bit. What are you seeing as far as trends for outdoor living? Anything specific?
Outdoor kitchens, fire pits, and fireplaces. That's what everybody wants right now. And as far as pavers are going, the larger shapes are becoming more fashionable.
So what's that, like 24 by?
Smaller than that, like a 12 by 24, 12 by 12, 6 by 12, you're larger. It used to be, years ago, it used to be the smaller shapes were popular. And now it seems to be your subway type shapes, your plank shapes, your long, thin shapes are becoming popular again. And the large oversized paver. So the larger the shape is kind of more popular now.
And I would think that, again, with aging in place, that just seems like without the grout marks. Is that what it's called?
Well, with pavers, you don't have a grout mark.
First of all, how thick are pavers and how do you smush them together?
Well,
They
go from 30 millimeter, which is about 1 1/8 inch, mm-hmm. to 2 3/8 inch, to 3 3/5 inch.
And what would be the different? Why would I use different?
Well, your 1 inch pavers are used for overlaying old concrete. Like if you have an existing ugly patio, you can buy our 1 inch pavers.
I love how you say it. If you have an existing ugly patio, please call me.
You can use our 1 inch pavers to overlay that ugly concrete patio. And it looks like a beautiful paver patio. You know, you just got rid of that old nasty concrete.
What's the process for that? Are you just...
It's super simple. They just Portland cement them right on top of it. They'll be in and out. They can have it done. A contractor can have it done in 5 hours, like a 12 by 15 patio. You'll leave for work and come home and that patio will be finished.
What's the maintenance on those?
Nothing. If you get algae, if you have too much water, not enough light, you might get some algae. You may have to power wash it.
Okay.
But that's about it. You know, you might get some stains from something you have to power wash off or clean with a paver cleaner.
What's a paver cleaner? What do you use for paver cleaning?
You know, I don't know what's in it, but we sell chemicals and, you know, everybody pretty much sells a concrete cleaner to clean them.
Are the pavers something you can use around a pool deck?
Yeah. I have them all around my pool.
Okay.
But yeah, they're used for, basically, you know, front porches, front walkways, driveways. For instance, an old pool deck, you have an ugly concrete pool deck, you know, with some cracks in it, what have you, you overlay them with the 1 inch pavers, your pool looks brand new, and prettier.
Yeah. What's really interesting about that is I didn't realize that you didn't have to take out the existing before you could use the pavers.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to.
How do I determine if I need a permeable, semi-permeable, or not permeable paver?
It's really, really not something you really determine. In coastal areas here, you're required to have permeable.
Okay.
It's becoming a law now, but most places don't require it. It's just a matter of whether you want it to be. If you're in a low area and your driveway or your patio gets a lot of water, and you don't have, you're flat and low and you don't have anywhere for it to pitch, you may want to do a permeable driveway or a permeable patio so the water goes through it and doesn't puddle on it.
So Tom, who typically is your client? Am I the consumer, your client, or the end user, client, or is it more the architect, landscape architect, or builder?
They're all our customers. And what we call them is we actually call them direct customers or indirect customers, because like an architect, mm-hmm. will design our product. He never buys the product, but to us, he's a customer.
Got it.
Because we go to them and we call on them and we give them our catalogs and give them design ideas that they can incorporate into the house that they're designing for you.
Okay.
And likewise, the installer is the installer or homeowner are usually our customers, the contractor and homeowner, because the contractor buys a product direct from us, but some homeowners do it themselves and they buy it from us directly.
And plus
also.
I'm going to want to make selections. I am going to want to see what's available aesthetically that'll go with my property.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense. We're going to take another quick break. It's really fun to talk. I think it's always interesting. We take things for granted in our home and around our home, and really learning about them is fascinating. Stay with us. There's more to come here on Aging in Place.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back on Aging in Place. We're here with Tom Curry, and we're talking about pavers, and who knew there would be so many questions? It's really interesting. We just talked a little bit during the break about two things. This is my question. I want to know about color trends, because that's a big one, classic and contemporary. And the second thing was we had a question about different surfaces for outside and why choose pavers rather than, let's say, a tile. And then the third thing that we talked about were facelifts. And you were talking about when you've looked at old pools and concrete, you don't see them anymore. And it's interesting how pavers can really change the face of an entire home.
Well, you know, we'll start with the colors that you mentioned. Something that Low Country Paver does that none of the competitors in the United States do is offer the color selection we have. We have 16 colors that are available in every single product we manufacture. And it's funny because when people are used to dealing with the national companies or the international companies, they come to Low Country Paver and the first thing they say is, can I get that shape and that color? Because they don't get it.
Right.
You can get every shape and every color here. And it's just mind blowing to them because most of our competitors, you have a choice of 3 to 5 colors in a particular shape. We're the only manufacturer that offers every single color in every single shape.
And why did you choose to do that? Why did you feel like that was an important thing to do?
It's extremely hard for us with inventory. That means we have to keep it an abundance of inventory.
Okay.
And it also slows it down because we have so many different shapes and colors to run. So the reason the big companies do it is for speed and efficiency in making the product. Low Country Paver isn't about making pavers fast and cheap. We're about making it the best and giving people what they want. So personally, I just think, you know, why can't you choose whatever color you want?
Exactly.
So
do you find that people contrast things, or is it mostly about blending now on the exterior of the home?
It really depends. You know, personally, I've seen some houses that go with a contrast that look really wonderful. Like gray is a really nice red and gray.
Yes.
Is a really nice color. There was a huge house here in Bluffton, and it was a giant white house. It was 7,000 square feet and it had a big white concrete driveway, and they tore the driveway out and they put in an orange and brown paver with a charcoal border down.
How'd that look?
It looked amazing. And you know, somebody drove by and stopped as I was taking pictures of the finished product and said, you know, I never even noticed the house until you took this driveway out.
So that contrast and that focal
point. It just makes
it
pop. Yeah, that big white house with that big white concrete just made everything just blend together and made it blah, you know?
And I know you were talking about shapes, and we were talking about planking, and we were talking about rectangle shapes. Are there other shapes that you make?
Yeah, we have 20 different shapes that we make. Yeah. So we have modern looking shapes that, you know, have square edges.
Okay, so more contemporary.
Yeah, right? We have modern contemporary looking shapes, and then we have ones that look more like old fashioned cobbles.
Oh.
So, you know, but we have 20 different shapes altogether for the style of your house.
Well, it's so interesting. And now going back to, you know, Aaron's question about facelifting a home, it makes a huge difference.
It does. You know, one thing that I really like, and I can't believe more people really don't do it, I think they just don't know, is the walkways in the front patios.
Okay.
They're concrete. And it just, again, I said this earlier in the show, it just looks ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody thinks about it.
Right.
When they overlay that front patio and that front walk with pavers, it looks like a whole different house. I mean, it looks phenomenal. It just really brightens. It's like the driveway example I gave you.
Exactly.
It just makes it look, you know, and it's not an expensive investment.
Well, and you don't have to do anything. That's what you said.
It's super easy. You overlay it right on top of the existing concrete.
So what about the height differential?
You have to have about an inch and a half clearance, which most do. Most have about an inch and a half to the door.
Okay.
But, you know, and then other option is to cut the door down if it runs a little high. But you do have to have the clearance to be able to do it.
Who would come out and measure for all of this? How would I get pricing?
All right. So the best way to find a good contractor is to call a manufacturer.
Okay.
If you call a contractor, you know, basically that they install our type of product are hardscape contractors and landscape contractors.
What's the difference?
Landscape contractors are usually people that cut grass, do lawn treatments, fix irrigation.
Okay, got it.
Plant bushes, and usually they're not the best people to go to.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that are hardscape contractors who focus on nothing but hardscaping.
Okay.
And your pavers, your patios, your outdoor kitchens, fire pits,
pool
decks.
Do they play together with more of a landscape architect to kind of create a holistic...
You can hire a landscape architect if you want, but usually it's not necessary for a residential job.
Okay.
These guys do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The hardscape contractors come out, take a look at it, and they know exactly.
Tom, what kind of questions do consumers ask, what kind of questions do you ask consumers before recommending product? Are there certain things you want to know? Do you want to know about their lifestyle, budget, all of those kinds of things? How can we be better consumers is really what I'm asking you.
When people ask us, usually it's about their budget because they usually go to the most expensive product off the bat.
Don't we all?
And
it's a gift.
So the first thing we say is how much you want to spend on this.
Okay.
But again, usually we don't get into that part of it because that's between them and the installer.
Mm-hmm.
My product's probably 20% of the cost of the job. The labor is the expense of it. So about 80% is the contractor's part.
Okay.
So the actual cost of the pavers is minimal compared to the overall job. But
it's like
how
tile
do you find some,
then, right?
Right.
It's the labor that's
right.
Okay.
Right. And any flooring, anything,
sure.
It's the labor. So how do you find somebody reasonable? The best way is to really call the manufacturer.
Okay.
In your area, or call us or and we know all the contractors. We know the good ones and we know the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
We know the ones that do good work and the ones that charge too much and the ones that charge good prices.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody better to really ask than a manufacturer for a reference.
Well, and you said that even if they call you, you get a lot of traffic on your website. And if someone's in California, even though you don't service that area.
That's correct. We have a list of manufacturers throughout the nation. And when we do get a lead for, you know, in an area we don't service, because we service the Southeast only,
mm-hmm.
When we get a lead from an area outside of the Southeast, we always give them the name of the manufacturer in their area and try to help them out, even though we'll never sell anything until we try.
I tell you what, you are a lot of fun to talk to. And I have to say before you go, you are a family-owned business. And I had the privilege of meeting your son, who is next in line to take over the family business.
I can't wait. Yeah, Matthew, my oldest son's going to be a doctor, and then he's 22, and then Matthew and Christopher are going to take over the business, and they're 17 and 20.
And they are, can I tell you how much fun they are to talk to? Because they get it. They have grown up in this business, and it's really a lot of fun to listen to their knowledge and the way they see the future.
Yeah, they love the business, and I couldn't sell out if I wanted to because the kids love this company. We all do. We take great pride in it. They have other clothes in their closet that don't say Low Country Paver on them.
just don't wear them.
But they don't wear anything that doesn't say Low Country Paver. Everywhere we go, I told my son Matthew, mm-hmm. who his dream is to take over this business and have his shot.
He's super into it.
Yeah, he is. It's his life. And he's 20 years old. And I told him we were going to dinner. I said, you got to put on something nice. He came out with a Low Country Paver polo.
Oh, did he really?
I was like, well, that'll work.
Yeah, that'll work. I like it. It's a good color. I love it. Well, it is a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day today. I feel like I get it now. I mean, that's amazing. I thank you very much. I thank all of you for taking time out of your day to listen to Aging in Place for any stage in life.
The company's Low Country Paver. We're located in Hardeeville, South Carolina. We cover all of South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Northern Florida. The website's www.lcpaver.com. It's lcpaver.com.
Have a great week. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and thank you for listening to Aging in Place for any stage in life. We would like to ask you all to give us a review. Of course, preferably 5 stars. Thank you again, and we hope you enjoyed Aging in Place for any stage in life. Tom Curry, you were an amazing guest today. And you know, I've been thinking about what my takeaway is. I think the takeaway is don't just look inside of your house for beauty, look outside too, at any stage in life. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lines, marketing by Aaron Lentz, and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.